Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, I wish I could say, hey, say hi to everybody around you by hugging them and all, but can't do that. You bringing more than a song to him today? I hope so. Amen. So as we're worshiping God, we're breaking down the enemies. Yes. Amen. Yes. I believe that. I believe the enemy's running down Cemetery Road, getting out of here. Well, I tell you what, that's when it counts for sure, isn't it? I mean, the times that we struggle, the times that the enemy is trying to put things on us or tell us things that are not true, because we know why, because the enemy's a liar. And so if he tells you you're not going to make it, he's lying. If he tells you you're not going to succeed, he's lying. We have to remain strong and in the power of worship. I mean, you know, I was just watching that, you know, we know that in the scriptures how they would send out the worshipers and the praisers before the army. But I was just watching this past week, the Alamo, like, you know, some of these old movies. But, you know, when the Mexicans were coming over to the Alamo, guess who was before those fighters that were behind them, all the men? It was the drummers. Brum, brum. Boom, boom, boom. They were before the fighters. And there's a power in that of music. There's a power in that horn. There's a power in that drum and that cadence. And it just resounds and resounds. I don't know what it is, but there's something about when you send the praisers out that they break down those strongholds, you know, in the world, the natural, they're just thinking it psychologically. It's like, you know, we're going to send our musicians first, and then we're going to mop you up, type thing, you know. But in the Calvary and anything else out there, where was the trumpeter? In the front, riding right second or so or third back from the colonel or the leader of the group, man. And it's like when it was time to charge, sound charge, that resounding sound. So there is something powerful in that realm of music. And we realize and understand that because of realizing that the devil had been the number one worshiper. And then he wanted a little bit more like, give me it all. And that wasn't going to be because God's not going to share himself with that. But so we can go into a lot of things, but that's a good word, that as we're worshiping and praising, it's not just to make us feel good, which it does, but it's also to incite and to bring fear into the enemy. And if the enemy is around you, if the enemy is around this sanctuary, which I doubt he is, because I claim this as kingdom property, but he could be out to a distance and trying to inflict things, or just like that in Daniel, keep the answer of the coming down until, you know, we hear the angel's trumpet blow. But yes, it's to tell the enemy that, yeah, you might be surrounding me, but I'm playing music and I'm worshiping because greater is he that's in me than he is in this world. And I'm going to have victory. It kind of comes to light a little bit. This past week, I'd sent out something like Wednesday or Thursday. It's kind of late. I guess Wednesday's greetings about the message. And I'll continue on with what I had last week about the portal over this church. And I'm going to continue to focus and think on that because we'll get into it. But as I looked at last week, whenever God did a miraculous thing upon this planet or upon his people, I look at it as that gateway, that doorway from heaven that he opened, that he sent his power down, or he sent angels down to speak for him or to share that message. And so we're going to get into that. But as I was sharing that, and this is a repeat for you that have got it, but it's just something that I don't plan these things out when I'm typing them out. It's just like I just want to send out the thing and say, here's the message, and hope you can listen to it and hope it brings you up to speed. I hope it encourages you. I hope it opens up that area in you that maybe the enemy has got you, maybe surrounded you feel or you think, but that it's just temporary. Or it's a hallucination. It's just something that we think we see, you know. The enemy's got us surrounded and he's good at trying to tell us that. But I believe God, and this is continuing on, it says, give the opportunity for you to hear what I believe. God is preparing for us, his portal over us, over your situation. It's not just our church. I'm praying for God's portal over you as individuals, over you and your family and the powers and the things that you have dominion over, things that you can take, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things out there when we start spreading it out, but what God has put in your powers of over-influence and being influential in areas, that he will pour him upon you these things. His portal over us, over your situation. God is so good. You are not alone. You are not going to go under unless you allow yourself to go under. Stretch forth your hand to his, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray. I've said it. I pray that you feel God's grip so strong, holding on to you and getting you through, past, or over that mountain in your way, that this body of believers and harvesters will overcome, overtake, rise above the obstacle, or obstacles that you see. But now look at them as how God sees them. What does God see them as? Gone! Gone! In Jesus' name, keep your church in prayer, guys. Amen? I'm keeping you guys in prayer. Because we're victory. This is going to be a victorious church. And we're going to work on that area, because he's coming back for a church without what? Spot or wrinkle. And we got to keep working. We got to keep getting ourselves cleaned up, prepared, alert for those things of what God has still got in store. The best seasons of your lives could very well be before you. God's done some magnificent things in my life in the past. How about yours? But I believe that was just a beginning to get you on where he's wanting to propel you or to send you or to have you do. And so the better is still before us. The better of your life, the better of his ministry in you is for the future. It could be tomorrow. Tomorrow's the future, right? You could walk up or wake up tomorrow, walk out of here today, wake up tomorrow, and that's the tomorrow that he has specifically assigned for you to do the specific that he has for you to do. It could be a year or two or three or four or whatever down the line. I just don't know. And you'll know it when it happens. Don't you believe so? Look at the people and the men and the women in the Bible. Whenever God spoke something, they kind of laughed at times. They kind of wondered, are you sure? But I tell you what, when it fulfilled itself, I don't think there's any doubt that they went, I wonder if this was God. But it was that miraculous thing. It's the thing that overcomes the powers of the natural. It supersedes, it overtakes the things that we see in the natural, that he makes a way where there seems to be no way. He opens doors, closes doors. He brings people in your lives that can help you fulfill what he has for you to fulfill. It may not just be totally you. It might be you and this person for a while, then this person and that person, whatever on this path that God has us on. I think of that for this church, of where is God taking this church? As if you come in and you look at the first slide, ministering to this community since when? 1983. Wow, that's a long time. 1983. A lot of good, wonderful churches out there. Been around longer than us. Some have been around less than us. It's up to them and where they're at with God. That's okay. I'm just looking at Harvesters Church, Believers Faith Fellowship, now Harvesters Church, that this place has been planted here, has been here since about 85 at this facility, but 83 in the community. And so God continues to move. Well, how can he move when the church is less and less people? It continues to what? Move! Move, move, move. I have always thought about this. And here I am. Like most guys, we like war pictures and army stuff, okay? You know, maybe some of you gals do too. But way back, and it was like a portrayal thing. It wasn't always factual. Matter of fact, if you talk to those in the Vietnam War, they would kind of laugh at that of the Green Berets with John Wayne and all that type of thing. But the one thing that I always remember out of that, and it's not just in that, it's other areas of war pictures and battles and things. But one of the things he always said in there is a strike force. We'll send a strike force out. Or I've got a Mike force, you know, mobile infantry, something, something, whatever. It's like it's a dozen guys, 24, 18 guys, whatever it is, I don't know. But it's just that concept of that we've got a group of men that are ready to come in and to augment your numbers, but we're going to be a strike force to where we're going to come in behind the enemy, beside the enemy. We're going to outflank them, whatever the case is, so that we have what? Victory. And I always began after that thought of, Lord, I would like to have just a strike force, a mic force of God. The kingdom, our challenge, our purpose here. And it's like if I keep thinking on that, it's not going to be 500 people. It will not be 100 people probably. It probably will not even be 50. It's going to be a small nucleus of people, because anything else that you understand and realize to turn a decision to go with God, if we are a large battleship, if we are an aircraft carrier, how long does it take for that thing to turn when it's out in the ocean? It just doesn't turn on a dime. It takes time to turn and make that arc. I believe as a small church, I believe as a body of strong believers. I'm not going to just say believers, but strong believers. I believe you that are here today are strong believers. You've taken the challenge. You've gone through some battles, haven't you? I think everyone here has probably gone through battles. And we're coming together as a strike force to where I've been in a battle, I know what to expect, and we're going to gather together, and we're going to go forward. And we're going to tear down those walls that Satan puts up. When he tries to create deceptions and deceiving things and tries to take you off track, we've got to come in. And as a kingdom of God right here, as a small group of people, we're going to battle. But the battle is not ours, it's his. But we are going to be his force here. I don't care if it's 12 people, 30 people, 35. I'd be surprised if it gets over 40. It's whatever God wants. I'm not going to say stop it at that. But if you get a handful of people with the power of God in their lives, with the Spirit of God, with the anointing of God in their lives, one, what's it say in his word about one can take how many to flight? See, God is never looking at a large number of people to do his battle. He's looking at a small congregation of groups of people that he can minister and put his thoughts or words in, like, now, do it. Do it. Sometimes you have a large church. Figure out a church when they try to figure out, what size cups are we going to have for coffee? 6 ounce or 12 ounce? Well, we got to vote on it. Can you imagine a large church trying to jump on that direction of what God is wanting to do? Because there's going to be times in our lives, there's times in mine, I'm sure in yours, that it's been taken a time when it hits you that you've got to turn quickly. God speaks, you got to move, you got to do, you got to be focused, and you've got to do, yes, sir, yes, God, I'm on it. I'm taking care of it, Lord. Battle, do whatever here. Worship, praise God, hallelujah, Lord, what a great day, what a great battle. Lord, you're giving us the victory is yours. Tim, I need you to go over here now. Battle. There's a battle. Because see, there's battles going on in this heavenly areas. He speaks in his word about what? I'm not fighting against those people out there. We're fighting in that spiritual realm, the unseen. But we as children of light, we as children of God, filled with the Spirit in us, we're prepared to do the battle in the spiritual realm. Amen? Aren't you? Aren't you ready to do the battle in the spiritual realm? Hallelujah. Wow. It's exciting. Again, I hope you guys are laughing or smiling out there. I hope I'm not scaring you. I'm not scaring you by going to battle, am I? Come on, guys. The troops. We got to be charged up, raring to go. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. So, I want to get into from last week. Remember what I had said, what a portal is. Portal. P-O-R-T-A-L. A portal. A doorway, a gate, or an entrance. In my life, I believe, once I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that opening, that doorway, because Jesus says he is what? The door. That door of Jesus gained me access into the heavenlies, into my heavenly Father. And once I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I asked him, Lord, become Lord of my life. Fill me with what? The Spirit. Now you become a supercharged man or woman of God. There's a lot of people out there that have received Christ, and And they're happy with that, and they're fine with that, and they're part of that world of kingdom, not the world, but the kingdom of God out there. But I believe as we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we become a supercharged entity within the kingdom of God. So that God's Spirit doesn't have to tell Pastor Tim to tell you out there what to do. That what's going to happen is the power of the Spirit of God is going to speak to who first? You! He's going to speak to you to do this. This is what you are to do. This is what I've asked you to do. This is what I want you to work towards or accomplish or whatever the case is. And it could very well be that he might speak that to someone else in the body, and you might say that, I really sense God telling me this week to do this, and somebody's going to say, I sense that too. God spoke to me this past week, and just like, I don't know, like a knowledge thing about you, that this and this and this is going to work out. Or this and this and this is what he has planned. As much as we are tuned in with that of the Spirit and hearing of the Holy Spirit, I believe God in his love and compassion for us will at times bring somebody around you to confirm what he has said to you. It's not to say that he says, oh, Tim's not going to believe it's me, so I better send somebody. Because when I said that to him one time, he says, you need to sit until you know that you're hearing from me. That's the kind of conversations I have with my God. Early on in my stepping out and where I was going with him, when I would sit back there and I would say, well, Lord, if this is what you've got, show this man or woman of God to come up and call me up specifically to say that. It no longer left my spirit that I was talking to him when he said as quickly, then you're not ready for me yet. But he didn't say, get out of here. He didn't say, you'll never measure up. He didn't say, you're a lost cause. He said, you're just not ready yet. You sit and you listen. And when you hear my voice and you react to it, you're ready. Wow. Has he ever said anything like that to anybody else? You know, I have a wonderful time with God. This is a life and death thing, man. We're in a battle. We're to be effective. We're to hear and do, and we're to trust him. But he was a loving and caring God, because I would do these things, and then many weeks later, somebody would come by and somebody would speak into me, or somebody would stop and say something to me, and I wouldn't even have to bring it up. I wouldn't have to say anything. They would just, in their own conversations, because this is how God works, would put it upon that person when the timing was right to come and confirm within me these things. And it wasn't to say, Tim, you are just not worthy. You don't trust me. I trusted him because what? I stepped out, or I did whatever, and now I might have gone, I hope I'm on this path right, God. If I've heard you right, I'm launching out. Somebody comes and confirms it. And that's our Heavenly Father loving us, caring for us, and just wanting to let you know, yep, you're hearing, and you responded, and I just want to confirm it with you through this person. As you walk through these times, that spiritual level with him and you begins to do what? Grow, develop. And it gets to be like I am sitting here and he's sitting right next to me in that chair on a Tuesday morning, and we're just conversations up here at the altar, and I'm asking and talking, and so, what's about this, Lord? What are you meaning for this? Why is this? What about this? A lot of those times, though, it's worshiping and praising him more than anything. And just to say how much I love you, God. How much you have meant to me. And Lord, how you could use me, I don't understand. But here we are, Lord. Glad to be here. Glad you're using me. What more, Lord? What more can I give you? You got to have a hunger for him. And when you have a hunger for him, he will fulfill that hunger. It's like that of the manna for the Israelites. They had nothing to nourish on. And he called down manna from heaven. He fed them and fed them. When you thirst for him, he will bring water out of a rock into your spirit to refresh yourself. He is that God from back then, and that same God in your life today. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? It's not hocus pocus. It's not let's, you know, rub two sticks together and hope something happens. No, it's the power of God still evident today. I believe a lot of it is more in the areas of the spiritual side, to where he fills and teaches and shows you and directs you and gives you things. But I see it in the natural. I see it in the natural. But in regards to the portal over this church, the portal over your life, it talks about especially a large, and it said this in the Webster Dictionary, imposing one. It's a doorway. It's an imposing doorway. What does imposing mean? Grand, impressive. As children of God, that portal over us is grand. It's just not a little thing like this, okay? You know, I think when he opens it up over you, talks about, you know, as they're giving it all, Malachi, isn't it? Talking about the windows of heaven will pour out a blessing, the windows. See, there's openings up there in heaven. There's windows. There's things up there. There's doorways. These things are happening. That's how God pours out a blessing that you can't contain. When I open up a portal over you, Tim, in that situation, you're not going to be able to contain it. I'm going to do something miraculous. When I open up that portal over Believers Faith Fellowship and these things are going to take place, it will take place. He's looking for people that believe it. That's it, that you believe it. There's nothing else to do. There's not up for debate. We debate to time frames. 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. Well, it's too long. Read scriptures, guys. There's things that God told men and women that took years and decades to fulfill. I would love a lot of things that he has showed me or told me or thought about, or I feel impressed by that it would happen like by Friday. You know, but you know what? Probably it's good that it doesn't happen by Friday, because you know why? Because God's infinite wisdom knows that Tim is not prepared for that yet. And he could do it, but it could just totally blow me away. It's like too much dynamite, you know? But when is it going to happen, Lord? I don't know. When's it going to happen, Lord? I'm doubting. No. Get rid of your doubts, because the doubt comes from the big D, devil. Devil doubts. He wants to plant doubt in you about anything that you've prayed about, anything that you feel that the Lord has directed you to do, because you've put it in, and the devil likes to say, well, here's your timetable. Why hasn't it happened yet? That's when we can say, devil, it is not my timetable. It's my God's timetable. And I just have to be found, what? Faithful in just fulfilling and doing what he's asked me to do, even when everything is just like, boom, boom, falling away. Jesus had that too with his disciples. Are you too going to leave me? But at least they said, where would we go? We followed you to this point. We kind of given up on this and that. We're here with you. But even Jesus with his disciples said, are you too going to leave me? If they had left him, would that have changed anything in the course of what Jesus was to fulfill on his mandate from that of God to go to the cross? Had his disciples all left him? And they kind of did, because they all kind of scattered in the garden, and one or so denied him. Didn't they kind of leave him? But it didn't keep him from going to the cross to die for you, to die for me, to die for the future of anybody with the salvation of forgiving of sins. Oh, hallelujah. So I guess it looks at this, that as much as I try to stay tuned to him, if I miss it, or if I finally just get frustrated in the natural and say, Lord, I've been here for 25 years at this church. I've been 12 years as a senior pastor. What's going on? I'm done with it. Okay, so just because I'm done with it, does that mean that this church will not fulfill the destiny that God has placed on it? Is this destiny on this church on my shoulders, to where if I walk away from it, that if it's totally that of what God wants to accomplish here, that he would say, okay, since Tim's not going to be a part of it, sorry guys, go home. We're going to close it down. No, I believe God would bring someone else to fulfill that. Because just because man shuts down, just because man stops, just because I get frustrated, it doesn't do anything to God to change what his fulfillment and what he sees that he's going to accomplish. He'll just find somebody else. Somebody else out there that's, you know, like, okay, Lord, here I am. So be careful. So I spoke last week, and you probably listened to it, and I kind of stopped off at John. I ran through the old scriptures, and these are just things that I was just on a little scavenger hunt with God. And then the things that I looked at as, wow, these are times that you cannot deny. And then I left off with, like, you know, Lazarus, come forth, and all of that. I believe, wow, bring somebody back from death. That had to be quite a portal of God just to infuse that, bring life back in there. But anyway, in John 14:6, and this is where it is, where it says, Jesus himself is a portal for us to heaven. If we go to John 14:6, it just says this, that I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is that door. He is the way. Nothing that you can say or do is going to open that up unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and allow his door to be open for you to go in. So that brought us kind of like, and I think I stopped about that point and I didn't get into Acts, because I want to jump into Acts, because here's some power, and you guys know this. I'm the choir's here today, even though we don't have a choir. The choir is here. In the coming of the Holy Spirit. So, what about Acts? When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. See, that's another reason I believe that it's really important why it will work when it's a small body of believers. Because I think as a strike force, we will all be in what? One accord. When we look at these situations that go forth, we've got to be training and teaching people. And it's a whole lot easier to do it with a small class, don't you agree? Look at some of your public schools when they have a class of, what, 30 or 35 kids, how much harder it is than if you had like 18 or 20 or something like that. But anyway, one accord, that's something that we all have to work on. And continue to work with. Not that we're not of one accord here, but I'm saying, let's don't think we've arrived to be in one accord. Let's continue to be open to that and say, Lord, what is it that I need to be in one accord with the body of Harvesters Church? Or whatever the case is, one accord will get you a lot of power of God. Don't you agree? They all were together with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, as a sign, as of a rushing mighty wind, not a wind, but like the sound of a wind. Wow. Wow. I just think about that. Just stop off there and think, like a wind, but not the wind, but the sound of the wind. And we've had some winds blow around our times, at, you know, the last few months, and you can hear it howling out there and all that. Could you imagine you're in your room, and all of a sudden that's that sound that comes into that room, but yet there's nothing blowing around and nothing. It's just that wind sound, the Spirit of God. It talks about that of tongues of fire. Not fire, but like fire. Wow. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit had given them the utterance. Now, as we read on further, it says, and when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. The hope I'm praying is that, Lord, you know, when that power, when the Spirit falls here, pew, I don't want to be in confusion. You know, I don't want to be sitting here going, oh, wait. Let me figure this out. Let me think about this. Let me see if this is right. Let me. No. It's like when the Spirit of God falls, whew, be ready. Jump into the stream. Jump into the water. Jump into whatever it is. Because he's here to do a business and a work for something for the kingdom. It's not for Harvesters Church. It's not for you specifically. Harvesters Church, and you will have a benefit from it, but it is all for his kingdom and what he is wanting to accomplish and where he wants to accomplish it, when he wants to accomplish it, how he's going to accomplish it, is all up to who? Him. It's not up to the pastor. It's not up to a board. It's not up. We're not going to vote as a congregation. Hey, we're going to come together Sunday morning next week. Come early at 9 o'clock. We're going to take a vote. And we want to vote if we want to allow God in on Sunday morning, okay? None of it is up for discussion. We cry out. No, you got to, man. I mean, you got to get into that level of it's not just a hyped up thing and I'm just going to be encouraged. You've got to believe it. You've got to desire it. You know what? You've got to battle the devil to be encouraged. Not that the battle's going to be, he's going to win, but he's going to put junk on you all the time. Just when you come out of it, he puts more on it. But we got to keep going forward. We got to keep advancing. And then you have to begin to look back in scriptures, guys. You've got to continue to look at God's word and see how he performed his miracles back then and how he's performing them of today. The miraculous things that are taking place and the miraculous that will be taking place in our churches, in our nation, in our school. We cannot have a defeated attitude. We can't, no matter what the world out there wants to say, it's no longer. They can bring suit, they can do this, they can bring charges, they can do that, they can do this upon the kingdom of God, and none of it will sustain itself. Because God is more powerful than anything upon this earth. And the next thing that is more powerful, the next thing in power of that is what? Prayer. It's not the atomic bomb. It's not the Scud missile. It's prayer. God has given us the tool that is the most powerful weapon to be unleashed upon any nation, country, situation, devil, problem, whatever. Prayer. You pray about it, you lift it up to God, and you better start worshiping and praising him as soon as that request is off your lips. Because once you return it to him and you begin to praise him, it's telling the devil that, what's going on with this guy? The answer hasn't even come. I'm still doing this, and guess what? The answer hasn't come, but this person's wacko. He's praising God for the answer that's coming. I guess what I'm trying to get into is the understanding that once we have prayed these things, and you know, you look at Daniel, we talk about that 20 and then 1 days and things of that nature, and how that angel, how he had to leave him because he said there's more battles or something along that line. I'm paraphrasing it, but if you read that, he says, I've got to go now because there's still more battles taking place. And see, as we have a battle and it gets taken care of, guess what's going to happen? I don't want to scare you, but probably going to have another battle. Okay? It's just the way the enemy works. Until we are called home into glory, we are here for a planned purpose. And don't get worried because, like, well, if I'm serving God, that means the devil's going to be on me more and more. Well, he will be on you, but I'm going to tell you what. When you got God on your side, it doesn't matter if the devil comes on you. Because the power of God is going to be on your side, and he will allow you and give you strength and help you. It's hard. I don't understand how to explain it and all that, but I just know that God is with you, okay? Because I see it in scriptures. So in Acts, as we begin to see this, that as the Spirit comes upon us, a portal is opened. As we are filled with the, and this is as I read more about this stuff and all, and it's just that with that of the New Testament, with Jesus Christ, we can become a portal ourselves for the things of God. Well, how's that? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the power he can send to you, through you, to go out, you're that doorway, you're that gateway. And that's the challenge that we have, is to do what we are to do for that of the kingdom of God. Not just to say, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Well, that's great. I hope you enjoy your mansion. But I want to do whatever I can for that of God to show his love out there that is so dark and gloomy and terrible. I think at one time I was thinking about this, talking to somebody, and it's like, the darker it's getting out there, the brighter the light of Christ is shining. And even for some of us that maybe only be like a one-cell battery of a light of Christ, and some of us are a five-cell, some of us are an LED light, you know, even that one little one-cell person, when it gets darker out there, that light's going to be bright too, you know, as darkness, gross darkness comes upon this earth. And it's always been around this earth, and we are to be that light. Hallelujah. So in Acts, we understand that. Okay, the portal, the Holy Spirit coming into that upper room. All of these lives changed, questions, wondering, what's going on? Unity, though, in one accord. Then we think about, what about in, go to Acts 8. Maybe that's why I get myself encouraged and all that, because you just start going through and just reread things that you've known about, but you just reread it again. It's like, okay, Lord, here we are. Hallelujah. Is that where I want to go? Let's see. Acts 8, 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying what? Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. This is a deserted place. He's telling this Philip to go where there's nothing. Go! Wouldn't you think you'd go like, well, there's nothing there. Why do you want me to go? I don't see him questioning it. Well, let's see. So he arose. Oh, yeah. He didn't say, wait a minute, let's talk about this, God. You're asking me to do something, go somewhere that there's nobody there. It's a desolate place. What? But he arose in verse 27, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, he comes, and he's there in verse 28, and let's see, he had gone to Jerusalem to worship, he was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, okay, here's this guy, here's your appointed time, here's what you're there for. Just one person? It's not a multitude that I'm going to preach to. Just this one person that you got an ordained time to meet and to do. And he says this. Then the Spirit says to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And then he read the scriptures. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from earth. Now the eunuch in verse 34 answers Philip and says, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, he preached what? Jesus. Oh, that's all you got to do. In this day and age that we live in, what do you need to do? Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. That's all. Preach Jesus. Now, as they went down to the road, they came to the water, and the eunuch said, hey, see, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commands the chariot to stand still. Both him and Philip go down. He gets baptized. And then what happens to Philip? He's translated. So when they come out, verse 38, now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found. This is like, it says here, let's see. Philip was miraculously transported away by the Spirit of the Lord. He next appears in Acts 20, years later, still in Caesarea. I don't understand how all that works, do you? But I believe there must have been, what a portal there, to he fulfilled what he was to do, and all of a sudden, he's pulled out. He accomplished what he was told to do without debating, without arguing, without all of this stuff that sometimes we like to do because we like to have clarity before we do anything that's out of the realm of our understanding. But we have to understand that with God, it's God's understanding and it's His voice, it's His Spirit. He's telling us these things. He did not send Philip out there to die in a desert or a desolate place. It was for a divine appointment of what was going to take place. And we can go into what all that accomplished, but here again, I just want to bring these snapshots of how when the power of God comes and does something that He's asked or what He is in wanting to do, generally, you're not going to close up that portal. You'll just move it to somebody else to get that accomplished. But I want to be used of that of God. Don't you? I don't know what I want to be used of God about, but I just want to be used by God. In the very beginnings of this stuff, even if I was out here cleaning the toilets, I was blessed. It didn't matter if I'm emptying trash, even up to today, I'm blessed. It doesn't matter what I do for that of God. I'll grab a toilet brush and clean. I'll take the trash out. I'll do whatever. I'll clean this. I'll wipe that. I'll do whatever it is because I'm serving God. Serving God is not standing at this pulpit just one day a week and saying, oh, I'm going to expound upon the mightiness of God. There is mightiness of God to expound upon. But it's what are you doing the rest of the week? Are you as much in glory where you're at in my presence, no matter where you're at, and fulfilling and talking and being that light and that example? That's the ministry. That's why we're all called ministers of the gospel. You have a challenge before you, a charge placed upon you, that as a child of God, you need to proclaim, like Philip did, Jesus to those around you, even to your family. Let's go to 9, Acts 9. This is powerful. Acts 9 is what? This is Saul. Man, this'll get you going. So we find in Acts 9, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. I mean, this Saul, we all know, he was just out to destroy the Christians. And he asked the letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he had found any who were of the way. Remember one of the times when I spoke about, are you of the way or in the way? I guess it's good either way. I'm of the way, I'm in the way, I want to be in that way. Who were of the way of what? Being a follower of Christ, being a follower of Jesus is what he's saying. If I can find anybody that's in the way, whether a man or a woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him. Then he fell to the ground, and what happened? And he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? A divine time over him that opened up, and he spoke into a person's life. Now those around him, they stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing what? No one. But the Spirit of God, Jesus, speaking specifically to Saul about, why are you doing this to my people? And of course, we know what happened then. Talk about that conversion. Another opening above a situation for a divine time, planned purpose of that of God. I got to apologize and repent, because I said that was the last one, but I wrote one more down for today. Acts 12. Herod's violence to the church. Oh, gosh, this past year we've heard, and there has been, not denying it, a lot of things against the churches, right? All these mandates out in California, they were fining and all that because of getting together and singing and all that. I mean, it's crazy out there. But guess what? There's a lot of Herods out there. And so, fighting and going against that of the church. Nothing new today than what took place back then. We just have to be prepared. We have to be built up. We have to be strong. We've got to be in prayer, that powerful weapon. So here it is. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out a hand to harass some from the church. Anybody in the church has been harassed this past year? Then he killed James, the brother of John. Not James, the brother of Jesus, but that of John. And he became, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter, verse 5, was therefore kept where? In prison. But constant prayer, or earnest prayer, was offered to God for him by the church. So the church has a part to play in these situations, and that's the part we're to play while the government kind of goes wacky out there, or certain elements of our government, or whatever. We as the church still have a job to do, to pray for our fellow churches across the land, you know, in California, wherever it might be. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with what? 2 chains between 2 soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. He's chained between 2 guards, and then there's 2 guards at the door. Didn't want this guy to get away. Now behold, verse 7. An angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and he followed him, and he did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. An iron gate that leads to the city, which it opened to what? To them of its own accord. This probably predates anything of like sensors and automatic door openers. Now we walk into Woodman's and Walmart's and we think we got the power. But I don't think there's a sensor on this gate back then. It opened, so they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out, and they went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. If God is directing you, if you are in the trenches for God, and you're serving him, and you're doing what he's asked, and fulfilling or whatever, and somebody throws us in jail, or somebody does this, or somebody speaks out against us, or whatever the case might be, I am just under my belief and trust with what I read in God's word that my God will be there for me. And if they put me in prison, I believe that that same thing could happen today as it did back then. Well, that's kind of way off the base, aren't you, Pastor? That's kind of like, woohoo, kooky. I believe my God. And I believe the things that I've read that were in the New Testament and all, and anything that's in this Bible of his word, is still able to be done today. Could use other opportunities to fulfill it, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that's a little drop off, but I believe they could just drop off. I guess my whole thought is this, is that I'm going to tell you, no matter what is the situation going on, where we're at, what's happening, where, whatever, when God opens up something over you to take care of you, to instruct you, to take you somewhere, nothing will be able to stand in the way. Nothing will be able to stand in the way. The only thing that will stand in his way is you, me, with my doubts and apprehensions. And my doubts may not be. I'm not going to give the devil a whole lot of glory in that all the time, because sometimes it's just us and ourselves that we think that it's not the way I think it should be done, or that's not the way I expected it to accomplish itself. So wait a minute, God, I've got a problem with that. And then I have to go back to, Job or something? Tim, where were you when I created this place? What did you do? What did you say? How did you help me when I created everything? What's Tim going to say? I'm speechless. I guess you did it yourself. You know what you're doing, God. Father. Hallelujah. So we could follow the life of Jesus to the cross and the resurrection, knowing that Jesus himself rose from the grave and he ascended back to heaven. He even told his disciples, "The works that I do, you will also, and greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father," John 14:12. So as I look through these scriptures that I read last week and this week, Old Testament, New Testament, and I try to capture what they're meaning for us, for our times, I come to this conclusion, I say, that these are portals of God. The definition of a portal: a doorway, a gate, an entrance, especially a large, imposing, grand one. And so as I prayed, "Oh Lord, open a portal over this church," Tuesdays back on the Zoom, I believe he can and at times has done just that. We need to do more now than ever before to position ourselves in such a way, which would be his way, to have his gateway, a doorway for the blessings of God to flow to us. And I don't want these blessings just to make me be blessed. I don't want it just because I want a new car, a big house, and new furniture and all that. I don't want that blessing. It's not that type of a blessing. But also for us to be listening and to respond to God and the things that he is telling us or telling you to do. We have got to be effective. We have got to be listening. We've got to be trusting. We've got to be powered with that of Christ in our lives so that we fulfill exactly what he is wanting to accomplish in each and every one. I pray that you that are here today, that you accomplish exactly what God wants in your life. And I'm going to do everything that I can to help, whatever I can help within that realm. I don't have much power. I don't have a whole lot of strength. But with him and God in my life and the Holy Spirit, maybe it's his working through us. But we're here to encourage and to exhort and to be with each and every one. And the best thing to do is to fulfill the destiny that God has in your life. I know when we leave here, we came in with nothing. We're going to go out with nothing. But oh, yes, we do have something that we leave into. A much better place, that of heaven. A mansion there that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And I'm not working to get my mansion in a certain one. All I, honestly, and I'll tell you until I'm blue in the face, all I want is my God to tell me at that day, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your shack. Hallelujah, Lord. That's okay. It could be a shack, but to him, a shack could be like, a 25-room house. I don't know, But the thing is, we've got to encourage one another. We've got to build one another up. We've got to fulfill the things that God has for you and the things that God has for this church. And whether it's fulfilled on my watch or somebody else's watch, I could care less, but I just want to keep going forward. Forward, into the next, into the next. What's next? What's next? God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we come to a close of this day, Lord God, I just pray for each and every one here right now, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, whatever is in their lives right now, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for just the Spirit to move mightily in these situations, Lord. I just ask you to have your way. I pray for renewed strength. I pray for renewed faith, for deeper faith, stronger faith, Lord God, whatever it is, that, Lord, that we will continue on and they will continue on to fulfill the destiny that you have. I pray, Lord, right now that the destiny that these people have, if they've been spoken over and prophesied, I pray that that is fulfilled, Lord, that it will be a fulfillment in their lives. I don't know when or where, but it will be fulfilled by that of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, as we go through different times of our lives and seasons here of battles and things taking our attention off from you or trying to weaken us, Lord, in the things of the natural, Lord, I pray for your strength, Lord, to come mightily within us, Lord, so that when we can do nothing but stand, that we can stand and stand and stand and not waver, not bow down, not fall back or whatever, Lord, but to be strong and upright in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now for the strength for us to go on. I pray strength and health and healing at each and every one of our bodies, Lord. I pray for our families. I pray for our spouses. I pray, Lord God, right now, Lord, let there just be a collateral blessing that what comes to me goes to those around me, Father, of my kids and my grandkids, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. You're the same God today, Lord. Oh, Father, encourage them, Lord, encourage them. Oh, Father, I pray, Father, that you would just refresh their spirit in them, Lord. Bring forth the Holy Spirit like that of a rushing wind, like the sound of a rushing wind. Bring forth that fire like that of fire, Lord, but not fire. Whatever, Lord, just come. Come. I pray it in Jesus' name.